Hi, I'm Sean. I've always had a passion for personal growth and a curiosity for life's profound questions. I created this show as a platform dedicated to inspiring change through thoughtful and insightful conversation. There's a lot happening in our world today. Some of it clear, some of it confusing. My goal with these conversations is to leave you feeling better and more informed about the state of our world in these challenging times. I'd like to invite you to think outside the lines. Hello, beautiful people, and thank you so very much for joining me today. I'm incredibly excited for you to meet my guest, who co-founded Team Builders Plus, one of the first team building companies in the United States. In 2012, he reinvented how people learn about themselves through the personality styles and started his second company, Take Flight Learning. He's the author of 5 books about tapping into the power of your personality, including The Chameleon and Which Bird Are You? He's worked with more than half of the Fortune 100 companies in the United States and worldwide. Under his leadership as the CEO of Take Flight Learning, his company has been selected as the New Jersey Business of the Year by NJ Biz Magazine and has repeatedly been named as one of the fastest growing companies and best places to work by the Philadelphia Business Journal. This was a really fun conversation about leadership, building relationships, and better understanding personality styles. I'm excited for you to hear our conversation as we think outside the lines with Merrick Rosenberg.
Merrick Rosenberg, welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
I'm really excited to chat with you today. I think this is going to be a really fun episode for our listeners. I would love if you could start off and just tell us a bit about your background. And specifically, I'm curious how you became interested in the field of personality assessments and leadership development.
I started a team building company right out of grad school. And it was back in 1991 and started working with teams and realized, you know, a lot of conflict is caused by the fact that people don't understand each other. They don't understand themselves. And they don't know how to communicate to people, and managers don't know what their people need. And that led to understanding personality styles. And I built a whole world around it, and grew my business teaching people how to understand themselves and others.
So you've written quite a few books, and we're definitely going to try to cover as much ground as possible today, for given the time. But there's a few aspects that I'm particularly curious to dive into. A lot of your content explores the DISC model. Could you provide kind of a brief overview of that model? And I'd love to know more about its implications for personal and professional growth.
Sure. Well, what's interesting about DISC is it's been around since the early 1900s, but nobody owns it. It's just out there in the public domain, and anybody can write about it and create assessments based on it. And you know, I was using the DISC styles, which is based on these letters, but it was just such an alphabet soup that people never remembered it. And one day I realized, you know, I just want to make it easy for people. So I linked the 4 styles to 4 birds. And you've got the eagle, which is the D style, which is that dominant D. It's eagles are confident and assertive and take charge and direct. And you've got the I, which is the parrot. And parrots are fun. They're social. They're talkative. It's all good. Life always works out well for the parrot. You've got the doves. Caring, harmonious. That's the supportive S style. They just want everybody to get along. And owls, which are that conscientious C style, which is detail oriented. If they're going to do something, they're going to have a process and a plan and a system, and they're going to do it right. So for me, it was just, let's make it easy. Let's make it visual and something that people don't have to memorize. People already understand the traits of the 4 birds. So let's just use those to symbolize the styles.
So I want to dive into the birds in a minute, just because I think that's really particularly fascinating. I'd love to know if you could just kind of dive into some common like misconceptions or maybe some myths about personality assessments, because I think that people have, I know that there's, you know, some specifically, you know, really fascinating science that's behind some of this stuff. But I think a lot of people see like personality assessments and they're like, that doesn't interest me.
I think the biggest misconception is that our style doesn't change over time. You know, we hear psychologists say, look, by age 3, maybe by age 5, your personality is fixed. And I can tell you, I watch people, they switch their role, they get a new job, and over time, their style changes. And, it, you know, for some people, we're just not the same person we were when we were younger. Some people become more confident, assertive, they become more outgoing. Some people feel like, you know what, I've been too direct, I need to soften that. I need to become more personable and empathetic. And so for a lot of people, probably the biggest misconception is that our style is fixed, but it really isn't. It does change over time.
So I'm actually really fascinated by that, because you did mention, you know, working with kids, and obviously you work with adults too. I'm curious, why is it important to teach these concepts to people at a younger age?
when you understand yourself, first of all, you put yourself in a path that's going to allow you to be happy and successful. You know, how many times have you met that person who's an engineer because their father was an engineer, and yet they're the parrot and they're talkative and they're social and outgoing and sitting in a cubicle cranking data and being analytical and solving complex problems is really not what they should be doing. And if you learn about yourself at an early age, you can find this path that allows your personality to shine. And when you are working within your personality, it's easy. It feeds you. You could do it all day. But when you work out of your style, it's exhausting. So let's create a generation of self-aware kids who understand themselves.
So you talk about in the wisdom of the chameleon, as referenced in your book, it's designed to kind of help individuals improve their communication skills, right? I'd love if you could maybe talk about some practical tips or techniques from the system that listeners can apply in their daily interactions.
I always tell people the most important thing is to not impose your style on others. So step one, you've got to understand yourself so you know what your own style is. But once you know yourself, now you have to make sure that you're not imposing that style on the people around you. So I'll just give you an example. Let's say you are a manager and you're delegating a project to somebody and you happen to be the parrot. So you're big picture and enthusiastic and motivational, and you walk into an owl's office and you turn to them and say, "I have a project for you. It's new and it's exciting. And here's your goal. I believe in you. Make it happen." And you walk out of there and the owl's like, "I don't even know what just took place. I don't know what they're looking for. What do they want? I have no idea. I need more detail." And so the most important thing is that we have to understand ourselves, but we have to be able to read others quickly and then flex to their style, which is what I call be the chameleon. Adapt to them. Don't impose your style on others, because when you treat people the way they want to be treated, you create connection with them. You show them that you care about them, that you're satisfying their needs. And life is easier for you and for them when you treat people the way that they want to be treated.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think part of the issue is that many people struggle with kind of adapting to some of these situations, interacting with, you know, all these different really diverse personalities. How can folks harness the power of the chameleon and within them, right? And while still kind of staying authentic to who they are?
I always tell people, you're not changing your personality when you adapt for a moment in a situation. If I'm an eagle and I'm talking to a dove and my natural tendency is to be direct and assertive and call it like it is, and you talk to a dove and they're like, whoa, relax. You know, like, how are you? What's going on? You know, for a moment, anybody can be flexible and adaptable. And you just take a deep breath and you say to yourself, what does this person need from me right now? And anybody can adapt to behavior for an interaction. It's not changing your personality. It's just flexing in the moment. But you just, once you understand the four styles, it allows you to very easily understand, oh, that's what that person needs. I just need to tap into that style just for a few minutes and satisfy their needs.
I know that your work emphasizes the importance of self-awareness. I think that that's something that a lot of people are lacking these days. And I'm curious from your perspective, how can people how can you help people cultivate that self-awareness and better understand, you know, maybe their own personality style and potentially the impact that it's having on their interactions with people?
Yeah, I could not agree more. I think lack of self-awareness is clearly an issue. And here's the thing. The most self-aware people are not only the most successful, but they're the happiest. So if you're going to invest time in learning something, invest time into learning about yourself. And understanding what your needs are and how they're driving your behaviors and how you are impacting the people around you. So I think it's just taking that time to look inwardly at, what do I do? Am I direct like an eagle? Am I soft-spoken like a dove? Am I enthusiastic like a parrot? Am I analytical like an owl? It's taking the time for self-reflection. The people who self-reflect, guess what happens? They increase their self-awareness, which tends to make people more successful and happy. So put time into learning about yourself.
So I'm a really optimistic person most days, but I feel like I think I'm generally speaking, I'm in alignment with the sentiment that self-aware people are happier. I sometimes wonder, though, if the less self-aware people these days might be happier because
Well, there's something to be said about living in one's own ignorance.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly my point, right? It's like, I look at them sometimes and I'm like, God, I wish I could just live in your headspace for a day. It would be lovely.
It is much easier not worrying about how you're impacting others. That is
exactly.
definitely true. But look, you go into a company and you want to be a manager and a leader one day. If you lack self-awareness and you lack social awareness and can't read other people, you're not going to create a very loyal and committed workforce, because they're going to feel like, well, you don't really care about them. You just care about you. And the reality is that in today's world, if people are not happy, they don't like the culture, they don't like their manager, they're just going to leave. So putting time and energy into being more self-aware, whether it's at work, whether it's in your personal relationships, it's going to come back and pay dividends for you.
Yeah, I'm with you ultimately. I'm half joking, but yeah, it's at the end of the day, I agree with you. So obviously, as we mentioned, your work explores the DISC model in the context of birds. And I'm curious if maybe you could just dive in a little further, expand on this concept, tell us what inspired this metaphor. And I'd love to know, you know, just kind of take us through that a bit deeper.
I was running a lot of DISC training programs, and that's what my organization did then. And that's what we still do now. And I would go back to a client that I had worked with 6 months ago, a year ago. And they're like, wait, which one is the D again? And I'm like, oh my God, like, a half a day with you. What, you don't remember what the styles are? And it was frustrating because people don't remember them. And if you don't remember it, you can't be using it. And I was writing a book about the DISC styles. And I kept feeling like, well, I need to just make these more visual. So I kept saying things like the direct and confident D and the enthusiastic and social I. I'm like, no one's going to remember this. There has to be, I wish there was something visual. And literally in that moment, I have this feeling, and it was like this, the birds flew into my existence. And I literally, it was like, well, what would be the D? And I was like, you know, an eagle would be the D and the parrot would be the I, and then the dove and the owl. And then in that moment, I literally stopped writing the book I was writing and thought, all right, I can turn this into a fable because the birds are so visual. It's like, you don't have to memorize what an eagle is. You know, they're direct and assertive. You don't have to memorize what a dove is. You know, they're soft-spoken and compassionate and the peacemaker. So if you don't have to memorize it now, not only is it more sticky, but it's easier to apply. And it just, from that moment on, I've always just used the birds.
It's very meta, actually, because it's like the whole philosophy behind the DISC model is really like, how do you adapt to people and situations, right? And you're saying like, there are different learning styles and here's how I'm going to adapt to one of them.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting about DISC is that so many people, the way they've historically taught it, is that it's only about self-awareness. You get a report, you get a graph, what's your style? And for me, that's only half the picture. Yes, you have to understand yourself, but you also have to be able to understand others. And I think that was part of the problem with DISC training, is that it only focused on self-awareness and it forgot about everybody else. And we have to understand the people around us if we're going to satisfy their needs.
You have a really fascinating TEDx talk that touches upon all of this. And in it, you suggest the presidential elections are just really one big personality contest. I don't disagree with that sentiment, but I do feel like the country is so polarized in 2023, and I wonder if you can truly distill it down to something that simple.
Well, you know, I'll go back to 2016, and this is where this insight came from. I was watching the election, and look, I always say this is no politics, it's just personality. We had Donald Trump, who's clearly the eagle, and you've got Hillary Clinton, who's kind of a self-described policy wonk. You know, I love policy, and that's the owl, it's the details. And I was watching one of their debates, and I thought, you know, you have big energy, which is like the eagle and parrot. Does that beat the more reserved, introverted energy of an owl dove? Once again, no judgment, but does it win? And I started working the model back in time. And I'm like, wow, it works through the 2000s. That's interesting. Check it out. It worked in the 90s, in the 80s, in the 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s. I literally got down to 1932. It was at that point, 22 elections in a row, where every time an eagle or parrot went against a dove or an owl, the eagle or parrot won. Big energy wins on a big stage. And it just keeps happening over and over again. I mean, look, the elections have gotten, you know, so funky at this point with becoming so political. Does any model still hold true? We'll see. But the reality is that with the advent of media, big energy, charisma, wins in person in presidential elections, and it keeps happening.
I appreciated very much that even based on the topic that you were taking people through, it didn't feel political when I was watching it. And I really appreciated that. And I'll link to your talk in the notes because I think it's fascinating to go and watch. You use a lot of charts and it is a really interesting concept. I'm curious if maybe there's a way we can use this metaphor to better communicate with people who we might disagree with politically.
Yeah, I think any time you can reflect someone's style back to them, you create connection, especially in topics that could be more inflammatory, you know, whether that's on a personal level, a political level, or in a relationship or at work. And so if you're talking to an eagle, you can be more direct and just call it like it is. But imagine having that political debate with someone who's an owl. They're going to have data. And if you want to stay in that conversation and hang with them, you better have data and examples as well. And so you've got to be able to just speak their language, embody the energy that they have and reflect it back to them. So whether that conversation is political or personal, I agree. Reflect their style back to them and it creates connection.
Now, you've worked with organizations and leaders in various industries. I'm wondering if you can maybe share a success story or two where you've implemented this and it resulted in, you know, significant positive change or growth.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you I had worked with a manager with a very specific example. And, you know, it was fascinating working with him. He was on a senior leadership team of a Fortune 500 company, major corporation. And I mean, his background was amazing. And this from resume perspective, this is the guy. I mean, this is the guy you want to hire. But he was like a bull in a china shop. He was just steamrolling over people. He was just losing staff right and left. And they did not want to lose him, but they kept losing so many good people. They're like, do we have to get rid of this guy? We can't sustain this. And I started working with him and I started looking at his style. And he was the eagle, but he was an eagle in overuse. And when you dial any style up and push it into the red zone, it absolutely works against you. His directness was now aggressive. His candor was now insensitive. And once I got him to realize that you have to use your style, but don't overuse it, it changed everything. And I never forget the day he came back to me and he said, you know, this helped me obviously in my job, but he said, I got to tell you, this changes my relationship with my daughter. He said, my daughter's a dove and I can't tell you how many times I've made her cry. And I'm not doing that anymore. I'm realizing I'm talking to her like an eagle and that doesn't work for her. And I love when people take this and they apply it, not just at work, but they apply it in their life because our personality plays out everywhere we go. And that's just a wonderful example of just how we use the styles, not just professionally, but personally as well.
As a society today, I think we're regressing in a lot of ways with respect to how we communicate with each other. And I think just even like the tone of how we, you know, interact with one another typically. And so I love that there are people like you out there who are really, you know, trying to change that and to help us, because I think that we could use a lot of it.
I think it's really all about respect. You know, we talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and at the heart of DEI really is acceptance. Let's just accept other people for being who they are, value the fact that they are different, and treat them the way they want to be treated. And that's really what we're doing from a personality style perspective. Look, the fact that I happen to be a parrot and I have owls who work for me that are very detailed and they ask me a ton of questions. I love that because they think of things I would never think of. And instead of judging it, I'm like, these people are amazing. Like, they make my life easier. So to me, this is really the heart of just accepting people for who they are. And you know what happens when you get rid of judgment, you have to replace it with something. And if you replace it with acceptance, drama goes away. And I think there's just been so much drama lately that wouldn't it be nice if we could just accept people for who they are?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think that if we could just start there as a baseline, right, there automatically comes with that some level of respect when you meet people where they are. And I wish that we could get this message out to everyone in the world. I'm curious to know, can you be a cross between two, or are you definitively one or the other?
Everybody's a combination of all four.
Okay.
My style, I'm a parrot with a secondary eagle. What's interesting is we're often drawn to people who are opposite from us. My wife is an owl with a secondary dove.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, parrots and owls tend to be drawn together in relationships, and eagles and doves tend to actually be married most often. And so absolutely, but it's often like you have an eagle owl is married to a dove parrot. That secondary style plays an important role in who we are. So yeah, we're not just one of them. We're actually a combination of all of them.
And it's so funny because as you've been sitting here talking about all this, I find myself thinking, okay, what am I? Because I feel like I don't definitively have it locked down yet. And I'm thinking about the people in my life, right? Because to your point, I think you're drawn to certain aspects of certain, you know, characteristics of people. And so it's very, very fascinating. And I really do encourage people to spend some time with this. I'm curious, kind of going back to the workplace stuff for a minute. You talked about leadership, right? And I think that this is obviously, you know, if you are a leader in your organization, I think this is something that you clearly want to, you know, spend some time on. How can leaders utilize this kind of stuff to build effective and high-performing teams?
It's the foundation of creating a great environment for your people. Take, for example, feedback. If you want people to be effective and you want them to learn and grow, well, you have to help them learn and grow so you can be a high performance team. So I'll give you an example. Notice how different the type of feedback is we would give to each person. In other words, if I walked up to a dove and I said, I want to thank you for what you did on that project. You made a difference for the team and for our customer. I really appreciate that. That dove is going home and they're giving you a hug. They're like, oh my gosh, thank you. But that's not how you give feedback to an eagle. If I give feedback to an eagle, I walk up to them and say, bottom line, you helped us achieve our goal. We improved this, decreased that, nicely done. For the eagle, it's about results and impact. And imagine if I do it wrong. Imagine if I walk up to an owl because I'm a parrot. And so I impose my style and I walk up to an owl and I say, you were amazing. I'm talking energy, passion, enthusiasm, loved what you did, fantastic work. That doesn't resonate with an owl at all. But the parrot would be driving home and it's like rewind, play, rewind, play. They're hearing that over and over in their head.
Yeah.
For an owl, I'd have to give them detailed specifics about what you liked and maybe what you didn't like, how they can improve it next time. And so just think about feedback. You want to create a high performance team. Well, you have to help people learn and grow. You can't give everyone the same type of feedback. Eagles want the results and impact. Doves want sincere appreciation. Owls want the details. Parrots want the excitement and enthusiasm. Just feedback as a topic alone shows us that we need to treat people the way they need to be treated. That's how we get results individually. As a leader, that's how you get results with the team.
Yeah, and I think feedback is one of those things that's so misunderstood by so many people, specifically and unfortunately in leadership roles. I think too, it also kind of helps. I have this theory that there's a huge difference between a leader and a manager, right? And I think that unfortunately, we have way too many managers and not enough leaders. And I think that feedback is such a critical piece of kind of distinguishing the two, how you know your team well enough to understand, to your point, like how each person needs to receive feedback, right? Because everyone
Absolutely.
Has that different style. And I think that some people just think that like, oh, I just need to give you this feedback. This thing you did sucked, right? And it's like, period. There's nothing.
Right. Checked it off a box. I did
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you're right. It's you manage things, but you lead people. And leaders are the ones who grow future leaders. And you do that by giving them feedback in a way that resonates with them. I've had managers who say to me, you know, I give feedback to my people all the time. It's like, yeah, but maybe you're giving feedback in your own style and you're not giving it in the way they need it. And what's interesting is if you don't give feedback in a way that they can hear it, it may be as if you never gave feedback at all. So you talk about just one example. I mean, you talk about delegation, feedback, communication, holding people accountable, managing performance, all of these skills that a leader has to have, you have to do that in a way that resonates with your people. And there's no, this is my leadership style. My leadership style is to be the chameleon leader and adapt to my people. Not, well, I'm an eagle, so that's what you get 100% of the time.
1,000%. And I also think that positive feedback is just as, if not more important than the constructive feedback, right? Because part of, you know, delivering feedback and building those relationships is doing just that, building the relationship, right? And so the positive feedback helps to develop that trust and that rapport so that when you have to give the constructive feedback, it's a much softer blow.
Yeah, because if you give enough positive, then it's almost like it gives you permission to also give the corrective feedback.
Exactly.
You know, I always say feedback either is designed to reinforce or redirect. You can't just do one of them. The thing is that parrots and doves tend to give a lot of positive feedback. Owls and eagles tend to give a lot of constructive feedback. Actually, We need both of those. So we sometimes need to tap into a style that's maybe not as comfortable. I mean, can you imagine giving a dove having to give an eagle constructive feedback? They're thinking about that for days. Like, oh my God, I got to go in there and
totally.
But you got to do it. That's the power. It's the most effective leaders are the most successful leaders.
I could talk about feedback all day because I think it's so important. And I think, again, as a society, we should be much more thoughtful with how we think about it. But I want to slightly go from feedback into conflict resolution. They're sort of tied together. But I know that conflict resolution can be a common challenge in a lot of workplaces. And I'm curious, how can understanding these different personality styles help people navigate and resolve those conflicts effectively? I think we've touched upon it a bit, but I want to dive in a little deeper there.
But you know, you get this sense that each style is going to manage conflict very differently.
Yeah.
Eagles are very direct. They call it like it is. Hey, I had an issue. I told them. I said it directly. Whereas the dove, they're not going to tell you directly. They may never tell you. And the reality is that eagles can be the quickest to anger, but they're also the fastest to let it go. Done. I told them. Over. Doves are the slowest to anger. But once you have made a dove mad, how long do they remember it? Forever. And so we have to be very careful. How do I talk to a dove in a way that is not softening the message, but making sure I'm being sensitive to how I'm communicating to them? An eagle, if you soften the message too much, they don't hear you. You have to just be direct. You know, recognizing when do people argue? Owls, if they have the facts and the data, they are in there till the end. They're going to argue for what is correct and what they believe should be the process or the way of how we do this. And whereas a parrot, they tend to argue, and it's based on values. It's based on, well, you know, you're treating that person unfairly or disrespectfully. And I don't even know you, but I'm going to insert myself into this conversation because that's not okay. And so when we understand what pushes each style's buttons, it helps us to understand how do we make sure we don't trigger them, because now I understand them. You know, eagles get triggered when you get off track of the goal. Owls get triggered when you lose sight of the process. Parrots and doves, it could be more about how you treat people. So understanding the styles helps us understand how we manage conflict and also what triggers people in conflict.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking about this, and I'm actually really curious to get your perspective on how technology impacts all of this.
Well,
and our relationships with technology specifically.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's something that's actually very, very interesting that's happened that we've never seen style related to any of the generations before. There's just as many eagles as baby boomers as Gen X as today. We've never seen style really change. Except now we're starting to see more and more parents than we've ever seen before. And it makes you say, why is that? Look, what's happening? And I think it's the connectedness that, you know, when you have people who are just stay connected to people, they can interact with people. Parents love to talk to people. And there's something about that constant connection, whether it's through text messaging or just staying connected by I'm going to post something on Instagram and show you a little bit what's happening in my life. There's something that's kind of rewiring people at a young age. And we're seeing more and more people who are bringing out that parent energy than we've ever seen before.
Yeah. And I'm thinking too about specifically, like, a lot of us are just glued to our screens all day, right? These little pieces of glass that we look at all day, and how we can potentially, like, I'm thinking if you have like a partner that's, you know, addicted to their device, or you're a child, how you can potentially leverage some of this ways of communication to, you know, wean them off of that or help them.
Well, imagine, for example, if you're sitting there and you're talking to a dove, mm-hmm. and you're looking at your phone, how do you think a dove responds to that? They take that personally, like, and they'll never say anything, but they're internalizing, what about me? I'm sitting right here. Is someone else more interesting than I am that you're talking to?
Yeah.
Or that you're reading? Like, why don't I get your attention? And so it's really important that we understand how we're impacting the people around us. In that example, doves get very offended by that.
Yeah. Every time you mention dove behavior, I'm thinking maybe I'm closer to a dove.
You can see yourself in the story.
Totally. Yeah. I'm seeing myself in a lot of these stories. So we often hear about the importance of emotional intelligence, whether it's, you know, personally, professionally. I'm curious how each personality style relates to emotional intelligence.
Well, you know, this is, style is really inherently linked to EQ. And if you think about it, there's typically, you know, we always talk about these four core components of emotional intelligence. You've got self-awareness, which we've talked about. You've got to understand your style. You've got self-management. You've got to be able to regulate your style. If you're a parent, you just can't talk all the time and use up all the airtime. Got to let other people talk. If you're an owl, you have to make sure you're not just being so logical that you aren't tuning into someone's emotional state. And so you have to have self-awareness and you have to have self-management. But you also have to have social awareness, the ability to read others, and then relationship management, which is what I say, be the chameleon, flex and adapt to others. And so each style tends to have different emotionally intelligent issues that they have to work on. You take someone who's an eagle, they may have to tone up empathy because they're not reading the styles of others, and then they're not communicating in a way that is sensitive to the people around them. Parrots may have optimism. That's often a component of EQ, but sometimes it's dialed up so high, they're unrealistic. Doves, you look at them and say, oh my gosh, they must have super high emotional intelligence because they're so empathetic. But sometimes they drown in their empathy and they smother people. They want to help so badly, they don't let other people learn from their mistakes. Owls sometimes get so caught up in the task that they don't tune into the emotion of others. And so each style has something different that they have to work on to boost their EQ. And I think this is the problem with our conversation around EQ. We just generally say we have to work on boosting our emotional intelligence. Yeah, but that looks different based on who you are. You may have to work on a different element of emotional intelligence compared to someone whose style is very different. When you overlay style and EQ, now we really know where to put our energy. Because you're right, most people with the highest EQ, just like people who have the most self-awareness, tend to be the happiest people.
I'm curious if you have tips for each style in terms of, like, if you're having a personality, you know, conflict or sure. clash with them, is there a way to approach each one?
Yeah, talking to an eagle, be direct. Yeah, I always say be direct. My quote for the eagle is be brief, be brilliant, be gone. You know, if you're talking to an eagle, call it like it is. If you are an eagle, my tip for you is tune into your level of directness and assertiveness. Because for people who are more passive, your directness and your assertiveness feels aggressive. So you may have to dial it down. Tune into the emotions of others. It's not always about just winning and getting it done fast. Sometimes you have to pay attention to culture and emotion. For parrots, you know, the example that I use is that they often are very talkative. They talk a lot. And instead of, you know, picture a parrot and an owl on a road trip. The parrot may do 85% of the talking. Well, instead of just keep talking, use that verbalness to ask good questions and ask the owl and pull them into the conversation. So don't use up the airtime for everybody. Use your verbal ability to ask questions and bring other people into the conversation. For the dove, I always tell people, look, you've got to stand in your power. Speak your truth. People will not perceive you as aggressive, but you have to stand up for what you believe in. And sometimes doves do not. They feel like, I don't want to start. I don't want to argue. No, asking for what you want isn't arguing. It's standing in your power. And for owls, I would tell them, owls focus on perfection. I would say focus on excellence. Instead of getting so caught in the detail and not being able to finish it because it has to be so perfect, shoot for excellence, not perfection. That'll help you manage your time better and also just get things done in a way others will perceive to be excellent, but let go of the tiny little imperfections. People aren't judging them like you think they are.
Yeah, I love all this. I think that was really cool and helpful. And I'm excited for a lot of people listening to kind of dive in and discover more about who they are and who the people around them are. Looking ahead, I guess, what trends or developments do you foresee in the field of these sort of assessments as it pertains to leadership development, particularly as we place more emphasis on things like, you know, technology, AI, et cetera?
I think the big trend is that historically, people have been using styles-based instruments, assessments that just focus on themselves. And we have to go beyond that. And you can hear the way I'm talking about it. It's not just about increasing our self-awareness. It's about how do I use this? And I think that for styles, assessments and training programs and learning about these models, if we're going to use them well, don't just look at yourself, also look at where it's going. I think there's has to be a need to go beyond just for companies that just run one training program and then they're done. Like, learning is not an event. It's a process that if you want to infuse this into your culture, you need to really take steps to build this into your culture. Run a session that teaches the styles, then run a session for salespeople. How do they use this to sell? Run a session for leaders, run a session on emotional intelligence and make the styles that through line. But I think the key and where this is going is that it just can't be interesting and then a report gets put away in a drawer. It's got to be made a part of your culture if you're a company, or made a part of your daily behaviors if you're an individual.
Yeah, 100%. I do think that there's a tendency with some of this, especially like in the corporate culture, to just say like, cool, we do these assessments, you know, and there was, we did them in a group of 100 people. And, you know, we kind of learned what we learned and then we put it away. I think it's really important to take this back to your individual teams if you're a leader, and then make sure that you have conversations where you understand each other, right? So, you know, as a leader, you should understand the folks who report to you and vice versa, right?
And ask them what they need. You know, what exactly do you need? How much information do you want? If they're an owl, they'll say a lot. If they're an eagle, they'll say not much. Yeah, you know, it's ask them questions. The amazing thing is when you ask people what they want, they'll tell you. And guess what? It's easy to satisfy people's needs when you know what their needs are. So, you know, make it a conversation, bring it into your daily behavior instead of just a report that you took and filed away.
100%. Yeah. I guess lastly, what advice do you have for people who either want to start or continue this journey in better understanding some of these things?
I think, as always, the first step is self-awareness. And so the first step is to learn about your style, whether it's, you know, I have an assessment people can take, but there's a lot of assessments out there. I have many books about the styles. There's lots of books about styles. I think you got to learn about yourself. That is step one. Then you learn about others. But the first step is to either take an assessment or just read, go through a training program, learn about your style, because that is the beginning. Self, you know, it's the Oracle at Delphi, right? Know thyself. This is the beginning of all knowledge. And that's where you have to begin.
Awesome. Well, Merrick, it's been a pleasure connecting with you today. Please tell everybody how they can connect with you.
They can find me on my own website, which is merrickrosenberg.com, or at takeflightlearning.com, and you can learn all about the training programs that we offer. And also you can check out The Chameleon or Personality Wins. That's the political book, Personality Wins, Who Will Take the White House and How We Know. I just released a 2024 edition of the book the other day, so it's hot off the presses.
Awesome. I'm excited to dive into that one. I do find this really fascinating, especially in our current political landscape. I think that we have a lot of areas in which we can, you know, improve how we communicate with each other. And so I think this is some really important stuff.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate you sharing your light with the world.
All right. I want to thank my guests today for sharing their insight with us. And I'm incredibly grateful to you for taking the time out of your day to listen to this conversation. I hope it left you better and smarter. If you haven't already, please be sure to subscribe and leave a review for the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have an idea for a future guest or a particular topic you'd like me to cover, you can email me directly, hello@thinkoutsidethelines.com. Now may you go out into the world today and leave things better than you found them. For more information, please visit thinkoutsidethelines.com.